Parshas Matzos Masay, Parshas Matzos opens up with the laws of Nedarim, oaths, and this Parsha always comes up in the middle of the 3 weeks, and we have to understand what the oaths have to do with the 3 weeks, right? But then there's the opportunity to discuss the concept of Nedarim and Shavuos in general, right? That we have a double message, it would seem, in Chazal, whether they're a positive thing or a negative thing, right? Where a person should take on himself extra stringencies and assert himself in things that the Torah by law permitted. Then in certain places it says that if he sits, he accepts upon himself a fast, which is also a type of neder, Kabbalah's tainus. So he's nikra chote, he's called a sinner, right? And yet in other places it says nikra kadosh, he's called a holy person, right? Nazirus is considered to be a certain status of kedusha, right? To be a nazir, right? Right, and yet in a few places, Chazal say that amongst the offerings that he brings, the end of his Naziris is an Osham, which is a type of sin offering. He brought upon himself pain and he abstained from wine, when the Torah permitted, wine, etc., etc. There's like Chazals that go so far to say that a person who makes an error is Kilubana Bamalatmo, a person who makes an error is like he built a his own private altar, which we know is also all sacrifices have to be in the base mesh. In the kind one, if he doesn't annul his nerim, goes through with it, it's kiel hikros, if he sacrificed on it. Right? And yet, another place, like we said, it's called, holy, particularly it's called holiness and other positive things. If you ever see promiscuity, take it as a sign to take on the zeros. Like a double message, whether it's a positive thing or a negative thing. The truth is that we could, fold up this problem of the duality that we find in Chazal about the issue of Nedarim into a very basic philosophical question, right? If Nedarim are good, right, and a person should take on extra stringencies, so the Torah that wants our good and gave us the halachas to, refine us, why did the Torah ask for these things themselves? If wine should be abstained from, everyone should be a nazir, so let it be regular halacha, everyone should be a nazir, right? If a person should, accept fasts regularly, so let it be, aside from Yom Kippur, we don't find the Torah prescribes fasting at all, right? So you would think that if these things are good, for a person to take on, let the Torah have made them universal and then make them incorporate in the regular body of halacha. Why does a person have to make this oath out of his own initiative? So you say, well, it's bad, and that's why the Torah didn't answer it. So then why does the Torah give it credence? The Torah gives it halachic weight, that if you make an oath, you must carry it out, and there's penalties for not carrying out an oath. So why does the Torah endorse oaths if oaths aren't good? A person shouldn't take on extra stringencies. Right, so the principle that's dealt with in the Maharal and the Beis Yaakov and Spitzer, right? So they point out the following, right? That certain things, right, is within a person's ability to elevate, right? And those are things that we have to do by divine command. So for sure, anyone who eats matzah Seder night, when it's mitzvah d'oraisa to eat matzah, he's for sure doing something good. So even though he's eating, which you might think is an animal act, no, it's for sure a good thing because the Torah said to do it, and only good will come from it. It won't be called that he's lowering himself and becoming less spiritual by this eating, because this eating is a mitzvah. So it's good for him, it's good for the world, it's good for, as it were, it's a scent for the wheat that the matzah came from. And there are for sure certain things that a person can't elevate, right? Under no condition would it be good for a person to eat pork or eat chametz on Pesach, right? Unless, of course, with the single exception that, it's pikuach nefesh. Then, of course, he's done a mitzvah by saving his life, but except for the unique situation of pikuach nefesh, that, where the halacha of the chayban kicks in, it would never be a good thing if he does it with the unbelievable, positive intentions. I'm doing it because if I eat pork together with my friend, I'll have a positive influence on him. Nonsense, There's no, nothing good can come of it, and it'll just be bad for you and bad for, you know, the pork itself. You know, it's not a tikkun for the pork to be incorporated into a person who's sinning by eating it, right? And it's not good in any way, shape, or form. You might fool yourself to think that there's something to gain for it, but it's not good. Man cannot elevate not himself and not the world with that act of taking in something that's not kosher. Right, but then comes, you know, the tricky area of divrei rishus. Certain things that there's no particular mitzvah, you know, to indulge them, but there is no divine command to abstain from them either. At this point, it is indeed relative to where a person's holy. Right, that if a person could indulge, let's say, in meat that's 100% black kosher and wine that's 100% black kosher, he'll do it for a mitzvah. Right, he'll make a siyum and he'll try, you know, to only indulge, to feel simchas yom tov or simchas shel mitzvah. We know stories of great, you know, great rabbis that, you know, to make sure that they're always only eating for the sake of mitzvah. They only eat from a suvas mitzvah. They wouldn't eat regular breakfast for fear that they're not doing it 100% l'shem shemayim, and in which case the food would drag them down. Right, and the eating would drive because it's a physical act, and they want to be perpetually connected with the holy, right? So they're afraid it might be too much physical pleasure. So they only ate by suda. You know, if they heard that there's a bris, they would go to the suda of a bris, or they themselves, if they were big prodigies, would make a siyum time and time again, right? So as not to eat from a suda, for sure, it's not even from a regular meal, for fear that engaging in the physical will drag them down. But engaging the physical could be the same like a mitzvah, says Ramchal, if you do it just what's necessary for the positive purpose of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an ascent for the person, it's an ascent for the food, and it's the same like a mitzvah that Ramchal writes in the Derech Hashem. But it's also, if you only do it, you know, as much as is necessary and only l'shem shamayim, right? So in which case it's beneficial to indulge. Of course the Torah won't answer it. Right? But if you're doing it for yourself, just to feed your desires, just to increase your pleasure, so it's an isur b'losa surachay v'apachrayim. A person just does something purely for his own pleasure, just to, you know, indulge. That's a negative commandment of loisa suru. Right? A person has to, and the Mishnah Berurah brings this law, a person has to always think of at least some way that, oh, with this I'm going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with this I won't be so depressed, I'll be more busy, whatever. It has to be at least some altruistic motive. Otherwise, it's called that you're being an animal. You're eating just like an animal. You're becoming more of a physical person as opposed to elevating the body and elevating the bodily needs. Right? And that's why God gave Nidorim. And the whole power of Shavuos, Naziris, all these things, is that for the person that he knows it will drag him down, for him, it's the right thing to make an oath. Right? For him only. Right? So for him, it's the right thing to make an oath because he needs it. So he needs to abstain. Right? So the Torah gave him the power to abstain. And for him, it's a mitzvah to make a neder. I mean, after all, keeping the Dorim, you know, there are positive commandments to fulfill the neder. There's a negative commandment, you know, not to violate the neder. And that's all applicable to the person who needs it. For a person who doesn't need it, so then we say to him, "Lo da'acha b'masha asrcha Torah." You're not suffice with the Torah asr to you. For him, there's no reason to abstain. Right? The Torah made it mutter for a reason that he should, you know, incorporate, you know, this food and this drink and all these other things, incorporate into the kingdom of heaven. And he's doing a terrible thing, you know, not incorporating into the kingdom of heaven. Right? God wants, you know, these things to serve the man who serves God. Because that way it's being brought back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, on this, the Maharal says, unbelievable board, right, that the, you know, person who makes a neder, you know, is like, he'll bon a bon, so he built an altar for himself, because he's like taking on a different order than what Halacha prescribed. So it's like sacrificing outside. Also, the word Bama means a platform. He's building a platform for himself. He's putting himself on a pedestal, as if he's holier than the Torah. And if he really goes through with his delusions that he's on a higher level than Halacha, right, or that he's got a better way to serve God than Halacha itself, so it's like he's sacrificing that altar. That's what Maharal explains. He's separating himself. Because the Halacha is what's good for most people. And the Nedarim are mitzvahs for the individuals that need them, and not for the Rabbi. Right? And that's what the Maharal says is the secret. that a neder al das rabin cannot be undone. If a person makes a neder and he does it on the knowledge of the public, so then he cannot rescind the neder. Generally, rescinding the neder is good, because like we said, a neder is a person for his particular subjective needs, so for him it's the right thing. The fee where he's holding. And if he, thank God, doesn't need the neder anymore, so he should rescind it, because it was something special for him. But then there's, you know, the neder al das, where he does it in the name of the public, so now it's like the neder became the norm, because it was done on the das of the public, so now it's the norm, so it becomes similar to halacha itself. So halacha, just like halacha itself, can't be changed. So also this neder made al das rabin cannot be rescinded, right? Because since it was done not as a subjective thing just for him, as an individual thing, but done for everybody, or everyone was involved in it, I should say. It's done for him, but with everyone involved. So now since everyone's involved, it became like an objective thing. So it's like halacha itself, so it can't be rescinded. Right? So what does this have to do with Golus and Gula are now in the middle of the 3 weeks. Right, so the Gemara in Bava Basra says one of the Amoraim went to Har Sinai, and you know, it's a fascinating story that he saw snakes the sizes, or scorpions the sizes of donkeys surrounding it, right? And he couldn't get there, and he heard a divine voice said, "Who will annul my oath?" And he went back, he told Chacham the whole story, and said, "You should have annulled the oath." Right? He was coming to you as a Chacham, a single Yachid Mumche could annul an oath. God wants you to annul the oath. So I was afraid it was the oath of not destroying the world again, that God took that oath at the time of Noah with the rainbow. He took an oath, never saw it. I was afraid if I would annul that oath, God would destroy the world. They said, "Nah, nonsense. It wasn't that. It was the oath that put us into exile." Right? So explains the Maran in light of all this, right, that, you know, the oath not to destroy the world, since that's for the whole world, so that's like a special oath that, you know, is like al das rabin, it's for the public, and it's done on public knowledge, because it concerns the public, that's an oath that cannot be rescinded anyway. That's an oath that becomes on par with immutable halacha itself, because it's something that's not subject, it's an object, it's for the whole of reality. So sometimes there's a type of neder and shvua that's a support for reality, and that type of neder and shvua doesn't get rescinded anyway, because it becomes on par with universal halacha, because it's for the universe. So of course God wasn't asking you to annul that oath. He's asking you to annul the oath that he made, that he threw us into exile, that our being thrown into exile throughout the Nevi'im, and a lot of tragedies that befell the Jewish people, God swore to do them. Because, of course, if God wouldn't have sworn to do them, they wouldn't have happened, because there wasn't needed a commitment, because God doesn't want to punish. He doesn't want to punish the Jewish people. He loves the Jewish people. So, as it were, it only with the power of the oath did the punishment happen, and he had to, as it were, take an oath to force himself to do it, because we need it. But it's a subjective need, right? Our needing to be in exile is a subjective thing, right? And God wants us to not need being in exile. He wants that oath rescinded. So it's so the oath to sustain the world is like a neder al das rabin that becomes part of normative halacha that's unchangeable, because it becomes objective and universal as opposed to individual and subjective. So the oath that God made for our good will never be rescinded. Those are types of oaths that become on par with universal halacha itself. The oath that he made to punish us and shove us into exile, these are like individual oaths that it was special because we needed it only, and God is just waiting for the minute that we won't need it anymore, and he could annul that oath. Right? And that's, the Zohar that we say before Kol Nidre, that's the secret that, Yom Kippur, the service opens up with annulling of oaths, and we say to Zohar that God says, he wants, Rav Shimon says he wants to annul the oath of God to punish the sinners and to put us into exile. He wants to annul that oath, and it all starts the annulling of oaths. And now we're doing tshuva, and the oaths that were taken to punish us for our special, unique needs, like special surgery that we needed. No one does unnecessary surgery. Special is like the goal is special surgery that we needed. We want to annul the force behind it. Because we want to ascend beyond it and not need it anymore, right? So this is, the secret of what Parshas Matzos has to do with the 3 weeks.